Now it's our turn to join together in opening God's Word and read a little bit more about that special Word and that special person, Emmanuel. Grab your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, Matthew, Galatians, and Revelation. I wasn't kidding. We'll start in Psalm. We're going to move to Matthew, then Galatians, and finish up in Revelation, which is fitting as it is the last book of the Bible. We're in a message today entitled, Nice of You to Join Us. You ever heard that expression? Sure you have. It's usually mentioned in very sarcastic undertones when somebody shows up late. First person I thought of when I titled this message was my cousin, April Anderson, who is sitting right there turning red. You know, I said for a long time, once April shows up, it's time to start church. Because April has this thing like she's on Philippine time. Let me just go with that. In the Philippines, we learned on our missions that if they say we're going to go at 10 o'clock, that could mean anything from 8:30 until 1. They were just sort of on their own time thing. And April is as well. But April gets here. That's important. But when April gets here, you know it's time to start. So when April shows up, it's like, nice of you to join us, April. And then I get up here and I get going. Now, just so you know, I didn't just throw her under the bus and back up without asking. She told me it's okay because she knows she's late most of the time. But today, ironically, of all days, she shows up 20 minutes early. But way to go. But you know that person. You all have those people in your lives. And you may be that person in your life that something is set for a certain time and you show up maybe just a little bit fashionably late. And somebody gets to say to you, well, nice of you to join us. You're finally here. I love it when we have meetings here at the church and we're done with the opening prayer and halfway through the business and somebody shows up. And I always get to look up and say, hey, come on in. Nice of you to join us. But we say that in the sense of, okay, I'm glad you finally made it, but I recognize that you're late. And most of the time it's in jest, but it typically is very sarcastic. Today, I want you to think of this in a whole new light. Every time you hear this from now on, every time somebody's late from now on, or every time somebody is on time from now on, I want you to think about this message today, nice of you to join us. Because what we're talking about today is not only nice, but it is absolutely needful and necessary for us to have any hope at all. And it goes right along with what the girls began singing with today. Excuse me, the ladies began singing with today. And the choir just sang. It is about Jesus coming to be with us at the perfect moment. You see, this sarcastic remark is, hey, you're late. The beautiful thing about what we're talking about today is there's no sarcasm at all. Because at the very perfect moment in time, Jesus came. And it changed everything. Everything. And it's what this season is all about. We've been in this series called Triple G, Give God the Gifts, for a few weeks now. And we've talked about how this is His birthday. We need to recognize Him. You wouldn't want somebody to throw a birthday party for you, set you in the corner, and pay you no mind. We had a great celebration for Craig the other night because we just didn't know how many more opportunities we'd get to celebrate a man that old. But we showed up to the party, and everybody's having a great time, and there's balloons, and there's cake or cupcakes, and one of them shaped like a football. It was delicious. I've never eaten a football. That was great. And we had a good meal and all. But, you know, how would that have felt, Craig, if we show up at your birthday party, and you come in, and we set you way back in the corner by yourself, brother, and nobody pays you any mind. You don't even get any of your birthday cupcakes. Nobody pays for your meal. Nothing. We just ignore you. We would never do that to somebody, but year after year we've done that to Christ when it's His birthday. That's why we say Christmas around here. So we've talked about it. Let's remember it's His birthday and let's give Him the gifts. And the one gift He wants is you. That's it. He just wants your heart. And we'll talk about that more next week in the message, The Gift That Fits. But as we talk about this today, remember, this is about Him. And I want you to think about the comfort that comes from the true meaning of Christmas. But we're going to back all the way up to Psalm 23 to do that. Most of you know this. You've heard it at funerals. You've heard it in other places. You might have a plaque on your wall with Psalm 23 on it. Psalm 23 is actually a song written by the shepherd boy David, who had experienced the good, the bad, and the ugly of walking with the Lord, but he knew that it was what he needed to do, and he loved the Lord with all his heart. And so he writes this beautiful song, and here is one of the lyrics from it, Psalm 23:4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I almost always use Psalm 23 at a graveside when I'm doing a homegoing service because it just completely encapsulates the beauty of what's really happened if that person that I'm there for is a believer. And verse 4 is the epitome of what matters to a family at that point. You know, when you get to the graveside, that is one of the hardest parts of our human walk together. Why? Because it seems final. But I get to look at these people and give them great comfort and say, this is not the end of your loved one. When somebody tells you they've died, they don't mean to be fibbing, but that's just an outright lie. If they are in Christ, they walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Look at that in verse 4 of that song. Yea, though I walk through. What a beautiful word. So it's true. One day you and I will do it. Some of our loved ones have done it. They've walked into that valley of the shadow of death. First of all, it's just a shadow. It can't get its hands on you and it can't hurt you. But it's just a shadow of the valley of death. But it says right there that they walked through. They kept on trucking. When we walk into that valley of the shadow of death, we're going to walk through it. And it says, I won't fear any evil. Why? Because thou art with me. How beautiful to think that God is with us through life and is our great shepherd, as that song touts. And he's going to walk with us through the valley of shadow of death on to the mountain of eternal life. And so we start here thinking about the beautiful comfort that we get knowing that God is with us even at death. But he took it a step further, and that's when we get to Matthew 1:23. When you get to Matthew 1, understand the context. First of all, you get this lineage of Jesus' life up to Jesus. But then you see this angel appear to Joseph. Now, guys, I do this every year, but I want you to think about this. Your fiance, your girlfriend, whom you've never been with, all of a sudden is pregnant. What do you do? Well, if you know it ain't you, a lot of you just take off running. Rightfully so. Or you get worried about it, you get frustrated about it, you get angry about it, you get a lot of things. Well, this is where Joseph is. But this angel appears to him and gives him the lowdown on what's really happened. God has done something special here, and it's something that was prophesied 700 years earlier in the book of Isaiah. So as the angel talks to Joseph, he says, behold, listen to me, Joseph, a virgin. He's letting him know your fiance is still chaste and pure. Don't worry about this. She's still a virgin. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Man. What an incredible thought that an angel appears to a man and tells him these things as the fulfillment of what was said in the book of Isaiah 700 BC. So we know that there is comfort and God being with us. But rather than just being with us in the spiritual sense, in this instance, it's saying that this prophecy is going to be fulfilled and he's actually going to come and be with us. You know, I tell you all the time when y'all tell me you got something going, I said, look, I'm going to be with you in prayer. And I hope that means something to you because I mean it when I say it. I'll write down notes or reminders or I'll put it in my phone or something so that I can remember to be with you in prayer. And it's special and comforting to know that God is with us, but to know that he was willing to come and be with us. Because sometimes I am blessed to be able to be right by your side as I'm praying with you. And it's different, isn't it? It's more special. And so what he's telling Joseph is that this child that Mary has is going to be Emmanuel. We don't have to look far for the definition because there it is right there in Matthew 1:23, which being interpreted is God with us. That's hard to wrap my mind around. That here's Jesus in glory, the sovereign of all creation. He was the one who was the instrument of creation and spoke into existence everything we know out of nothing. Just because he wanted to. Because he wanted us to have somewhere to be and love us. He's there in perfection where he doesn't have to worry about sin or issues or physical ailments. And he chooses the infinite to become an infant. Imagine the travail and the trauma that a child goes through in childbirth. We don't really know, and thank God we don't have object permanence at that point, so we don't remember. But I'm going to tell you, if anybody could remember what they went through coming into this world, they'd probably say, put me back. I'd rather just stay here in the warmth and the comfort of my mother's womb. Could not Jesus have felt similar knowing that he's getting ready to go through that? Certainly he was omniscient. He knew what it was going to be like. He created birth and all of those things. He knew this was going to be traumatic. Then he knew he was going to have to put on this disgusting flesh that falls apart day by day. Any of you in as good a shape today as you were when you were at your peak and young? Anybody? Any liars? Anybody? Man, sometimes you wake up and something's hurting and there ain't even nothing there. You're like, there's nothing there to hurt. What is that? He put on flesh that's falling apart moment by moment. We lose cells day by day by day. You say, man, come on, Pastor, you're not encouraging me. I'm just saying, it's true. Jesus came down, the infinite, became an infant, and he puts on flesh. And he has to go through all of the pain and the things that we as human beings go through. But he did that to be God with us. There were numerous reasons for that that we'll get into, but just think for a moment that God loved you so very much that he sent his only begotten Son. That Jesus came to be God with us. Galatians 4:4, as we move into that one, Paul is talking to the church there in the area of Galatia. And it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. That speaks volumes. What it says is the fullness of time. When the time was just right. See, God always does things perfectly. Amen. So when he chose to send Jesus, everything was set up in the world just like he wanted it to be. You know, as the Old Testament ends, there is 400 years of relative silence where there's nothing between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of Matthew 1. What's happening during that point is that the Roman roads were being built. The world was expanding. Things were falling into place in such a geopolitical way that a message could then spread throughout the whole known world pretty quickly. That's part of what God was doing. But the rest of it is just his sovereign plan to say, this is the moment that I want to send Jesus. So that first Christmas probably was not a December. We don't know. It doesn't matter. We celebrate it because we don't know. The reality is he picked the perfect day and he sent his Son in the fullness of time. That moment was spot on perfect. Why? Because that's the way God does things. But when the time was right, God sent his Son. And he makes it clear how he sent his Son. Made of a woman. What is that telling us? He was fully human. And yet, under the law, because he's fully human. So he's under the law, subject to the same law that all these folks had been subject to, the law of God. And yet he was the only one that proved that he was fully God at the same time. And that's hard to wrap your mind around because he obeyed the law to the letter and fulfilled it in every way. The only perfect one there ever was. I told you we'd talk about why he decided to come and be God with us. We needed an example. We needed an example. We needed to know what it's supposed to look like. And as he came and lived a very perfect life, we can look and say, what was it Jesus would have done in a case like this? And we can look it up. The beauty of this handbook we call the Bible for living. We can look at it and see exactly what he did. But we see that he was fully man and fully God. Had he not been fully God and perfect, he would not have been an appropriate sacrifice for us. But thank goodness that there is comfort in knowing that he's not only with us spiritually, he came to be here and give us an example, and he obeyed the law perfectly and was the perfect example. When he got ready to leave about 33 years later, Matthew 28:20, which we typically know as the Great Commission, comes into play. He's leaving and he tells them, I want you to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That word world there being end of the age, the end of time. We know he was with us when we talked about it in Psalm 23. And then we get this fulfillment of what was said in Isaiah that a virgin would give birth. That happens. We've read that story numerous times already this year in Luke 2. He comes to be with us, to be our example, to be our propitiation, which is a fancy word for the substitute to take our punishment when we're the ones that deserved it. He came to be those things, and as he is placed in the tomb, dead, he rises again. He shows himself to many witnesses, and he's getting ready to ascend back to heaven. And he said, look, keep doing the things I've taught you. Keep following the example. Sharing it with other people, making the difference in their lives. It's why we share these buttons, and it's why we say we need to get out and do mission trips and evangelize, even here in our own community. Teach them to do these things, but remember this. I'm with you. Always. You know what that word always means in the Greek? Always. Hey, people that say, oh, I love it when you talk about the Greek. A lot of times, the Greek actually means what it says right there. Sometimes it doesn't because English is a terrible language. Nonetheless, in this case, it's right on. Jesus is saying, look, I'm getting ready to physically leave. I have been Emmanuel, God with us. When we get ready to leave, but I'll be with you always. I'll be with you always. Right now, if you are a believer and have accepted Jesus in your heart, sitting right there on the throne room of your heart is the Holy Spirit, who is God also. What a comforting thought as we keep thinking about Him being with us. And then I want to read for you Revelation 21:3. Because what I've done is taken you from Old Testament, way back, Psalm 23:4, all the way now to Revelation 21:3, to the end of the book. I love being able to read Revelation. When people say, man, I don't know what's to come, I'm like, well, I don't know why. I read the end of the book. You ever get a book and just start at the end so you know how it ends, decide if you want to read the rest of it? Shame on you. I do it too. But this is one of those cases where we can do that. You read the end of the book. People are terrified of Revelation. Don't be. If you're a believer, this is tomorrow's newspaper, and it tells you how good it's going to be for us, guys. And at Revelation 21:3, it doesn't get any better than this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And listen to this. He dwells with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen. Here's the story start to finish. We get great comfort at a passing of a loved one. We get great comfort ourselves knowing that one day we will walk into the valley of the shadow of death unless the rapture comes first. But when we do, we get to walk right on through it, and He's with us every step of the way. We get the comfort of knowing we had a perfect example because He loved us enough not just to be with us spiritually, but to come physically be here. And we have the eyewitness accounts of that and how He lived His life. So we've got the perfect example. We know that He loved us enough to fulfill the law to the letter. He allowed His own creation to pierce His side, beat Him to within an inch of His life, place Him on a tree that He created, died, placed in a tomb, but a barred one because He wasn't going to need it long, because 3 days later He comes out of that thing. And He then ascends to heaven and says, I'm going to be with you always to the very end. And then we see in Revelation 23 that that is sort of given an exclamation point because He says, God will dwell with us. Amen. Here's the beauty. God is with you right now. Jesus is with you right now. This Christmas, is He pleased with where you're taking Him? With what you're saying about Him? With what you're saying and doing in general. This year, the message series was Give God the Gifts. He gave you everything by becoming God with us so that we could always be with Him. What He wants in response to that is your surrender, your obedience, your heart and life. And I'll tell you, if you give Him that gift, your life will never be the same. Amen. Those of you who have done it, you know. You know it ain't always easy to do what this tells us to do to please Him. But you know it's always right, and your life has been radically different ever since you allowed Emmanuel, God with us, to be with you. Let us pray. Father, thank You. And it just seems so frail, so feeble to use those two little words, thank You. When You, God, chose to be with us, and You've chosen to do that so that we could be with You forever. Thank You, God. And we wish we had better words, but Lord, I know it's not the words You want. It's not the lip service. It's the life. It's our hearts that You want. So God, I pray that we would consider the fact that You are with us right now, and You will be always. And one day we'll dwell with You, but in the meantime, God, are we going with You to the places You want us to go? Are we saying of You the things You want us to say? Are we living our lives with You the way You want us to? Father, I pray that we will, because there is no real joy to be found in anything else. God, please move us all to recognize what a gift Christmas really was, to realize how special that word Emmanuel really is and our response to it. bless us, God, and help us to be the people you've called us to be now and always. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.